last time where we go through our denomination's doctrines and what we believe and why we believe it, there's a time that people get to share their testimony. About 10 years ago, I finally got smart enough to say, you know what, other people need to hear this other than me. And so we have Membership Sunday, and people share how they found Jesus and the impact that he's had on their life. And they build their testimony around four questions that are asked in the membership material. What convinced you that you needed Jesus Christ? Who was helpful in leading you to Jesus? What steps did you take in becoming a Christian? And how has your life changed since Jesus is in it? And today we're going to hear testimony from three people, Jim Dieter, Michelle Harpster, and Bob Harpster. So if the three of you could come forward, you can just sit on this front pew here. And we're going to hear your stories and celebrate what Christ has done in your life.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michelle Harpster. I'm the oldest of three siblings, and I was born in Bucyrus, Ohio. Around the age of five, my parents divorced, and at the age of six, my mother passed away due to injuries sustained in an auto accident. She was only 27 years old at the time. It was after her death we moved to Upper Sandusky to live with my father. Growing up, we moved around a lot, and I always felt that I was and needed to be the caretaker in our family. My father remarried, and we moved to Macomb when I was in eighth grade. Although we never attended church regularly, my stepmom would have us read Bible verses and recite them. In 1978, during my sophomore year, we had a high school assembly. To this day, I cannot remember what the subject of the assembly was, but this is when I was led to invite Jesus Christ into my life. I remember sitting in the bleachers amongst my best friends and crying. There were no bells and whistles or angelic music, but I knew something monumental had just happened in my life. I married in 1982 and have two daughters, Ashley and Nikki. We attended and raised our girls at the Bradner United Methodist Church. I then married Mark Foster in 2002. In 2008, Mark was killed in a snowmobile accident in northern Michigan. I had never experienced a feeling of loss like this before. Grief can be unbearable. This is when I met Pastor Paul for the first time. I will never forget Pastor Paul's eulogy for Mark at his funeral and how much it meant to me. He was so compassionate and understanding, and his sermon left a lasting impression on me. Almost a year later, in September of 2009, it was on a Sunday, and I remember it being such a beautiful day. Very rarely did I ever leave my garage door open, but on this particular day, I couldn't bear to have it closed, as I was feeling scared, lost, and alone, and felt the need to have it open and not feel so closed in. While sitting and crying on the steps in the garage, I knew there was something missing in my life. First and foremost was the presence of God. I also believe the Lord felt there was something else missing, that being a man named Bob Harpster, who happened to be driving by that day and had planned on stopping to talk to me if my garage door was open. So lo and behold, there was my angel. He was just coming from playing softball with his dirty clothes and a ball cap on backwards. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. And yes, Virginia, there are angels. I guess not all angels wear halos. He looked pretty pathetic and lost also. Maybe I should have been leery or scared, but I had this feeling that he needed me as well. I have always had a passion to help and do for others. He explained to me that he had just lost his wife a month ago, and knowing that Mark had passed away 9 months earlier, he was seeking some advice and wondering, how do you pick up the pieces and move forward? After this, we talked a few times when we would occasionally pass each other at the cemetery on Sundays. I would also send him cards of encouragement in the mail. few months later, my oldest daughter, Ashley, called. She wanted to attend church with me, and I suggested we go to Rising Sun, as I had always wanted to go back since the funeral. I called Bob to see if he wanted to go with us, but he invited us to join him at the Church of Christ in Wayne, where he had been attending. We continued attending church in Wayne and were eventually married there in September of 2010. After Preacher John retired and moved away, we knew we needed a change, as we felt our spiritual needs were no longer being met. We had talked about trying several different churches before making a change, and I kept telling Bob that we needed to try the Church in Rising Sun. Looking back now, I know it was God speaking to me and guiding us to Pastor Paul in this congregation. I truly believe God has a plan for us here. Bob and I feel we are very blessed with our children, 7 grandchildren, and each other. We are equally blessed to have found our new church family. Our membership classes with Pastor Paul, Don, and Jim were definitely an experience I will never forget. We had all suffered a tremendous loss in our lives. We had an unspoken understanding of each other before a word was ever spoken. I believe these classes were also good for Pastor Paul. There were a couple of evenings we knew he was down and in need of some understanding of his own. We let him talk and vent to all of us, and by the end of the night, we were able to bring a sense of relief and understanding to him and put a smile on his face. As I mentioned before, I'm a very compassionate person, so of course I made sure to take care of part of our membership class's needs in the form of dips, snacks, or sandwiches to share. Don also brought delicious desserts to enjoy. I think Pastor Paul appreciated this more than anyone, as he always asked on Sunday, "What are we having to eat Thursday?" After each class, our spirits were lifted and our bond together was strengthened. At times, Bob and I felt like we needed to know and learn the Bible better, but also realize, I think I missed the part. It's not how much scripture you know, it's how much scripture you live. Since attending church here, my faith has been strengthened, and I am also enjoying becoming more involved in the church activities, especially beating Bob in the chili cook-off. That was exhilarating. I also love being a part of the women's breakfast, where everyone has welcomed me with open arms. Learning how to trust in God even more has led me to a more positive outlook on life. In conclusion, I'd like to share just a couple of quotes of importance to me. No matter how many steps you have taken away from God, it only takes one step to get back. Do not turn down God's grace and mercy. God's plan is greater than our plan every time. And one of my favorite Bible verses, Psalms 86:5, God is good. Thank you.
As I said in the last service, I kind of wish Bob could be back here to support me too. And then I started thinking about it. No, it's better off that he's out there. I do want to tell you how excited I am about being a part of this church. One of the questions that we're supposed to answer is, what brought us to this church? The answer to that would be my mom and dad, because I was too little to come by myself. I was born in Bowling Green, but after being released from the hospital, I end up living in the home where Emma is now. And so we lived there for 2 years, and then my dad built a house out here about 6 houses down. So this has always been my church home. When I was little, for the first 2 years, I had a high fever most of the time, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. But they took me to a campground revival out near Cary, Ohio. And after that service, they had to pray for those who wanted healing, and after that, my fever broke. And my mother told me, God is going to do something with you. God's going to use you, Jimmy. That's kind of a weird thing to tell a little kid, because you go, what does that mean? And I found out over the last 66 years exactly what that meant, and that is that God has a plan for me. Even though I didn't know what that plan was, he did. I love coming here to Sunday school and children's church, worship here at Rising Sun First Church of God with my family. I remember all kinds of people that were very special to me. I developed a love for music and singing with Mrs. Nellie Ettinger. Sorry, I started joking. I learned all kinds of science from Mr. Ralph Bernard, and I learned all kinds of wonderful Sunday school lessons from Mrs. Heiser. She had those special papers that you just, for kids who have ADD that they didn't diagnose yet, that you just rubbed a pencil over and a picture appeared. I don't know if any of you remember those or not, but I love Mrs. Heiser. I made sure I made every time to Sunday school just to get that. But she also talked about wonderful Bible stories and missionary. I remember missionary posters. And ever since I was a child or that age, I always was interested in missions. But probably there were all kinds of people that made an impact in my life. And looking back, I started to write down some names, and I'm sure I'm going to leave out some. But there were countless acts of kindness that was shown to my family. And as a child, I took for granted the kindness and the love that people were there. People like Paul Ettinger and Opal Babcock, my uncle John Dieter, Viva Hunt and Harold and Flossie Stroman, Ron and Mildred Klotz, Emma Patterson, now Ettinger, Treva Betts, Oler and Helen Stalinger, and many more. They just were examples to me. And as a child who came with my dad to church, I got to see what it was like to have family. Each of these had an important part of my life, but especially a man named Bill Dieter, who was my dad. He taught me all kinds of things without ever teaching me a lesson from a book. I just watched his life. But there was one particular lesson that he did teach me and made great impact on my life, if you understand what I'm saying. We were never poor. We just didn't have money. But on Sunday morning, he would give us money. And I go, this is great. I get paid to go to church. And I couldn't wait till Sunday school was over because I could run over to Green Store, which is right across the street. Now buddies, I guess. And end up with all kinds of candy. And my dad would say, where did that candy come from? I go, well, I bought it at the store. What did you use for the money? With the money you gave to me. I mean, that money wasn't supposed to go to you. That was supposed to go in the offering. And I look back over my life, and that realization is something that has come back to me year after year, and that is God has given me all kinds of things, but he didn't give it to me for my pleasure. He gave it so I could give it back to him. And that's a lesson that I learned as a child and didn't really implement it until years later. As a child, I would pray and talk to God all the time, although I didn't know it was a real religious thing. I just thought that was the way it was. Most of my prayers involved, Lord, help me find that baseball that got lost in the cornfield behind the house, because we only got one. And when the ball's gone, we done playing. And that was my summer most of the time. Or I would pray at night and pray for my family and pray for my friends. And it was just a conversation that I just thought was natural. But I also realized that I didn't feel sometimes God was near to me. 1964, I'm not sure exactly what happened in our family, but my dad was working more and more hours to help provide the financial means for us, and I think he probably took on more jobs. And so he was the one that usually bring us to church. So on Sunday mornings, he was either exhausted or he was working, and we quit going. And we kind of tried to listen to the radio, or my mom would get out to Bible story and read it, but just didn't seem to have the impact. I realized in my life I wasn't living the way I was supposed to. Although I was pretty good, I did have two sisters, which constant temptation, you know, with the not being as nice as I should have been. Sometimes it's good not to have your sisters live close to remind everybody what you were like. I do have a few people still around that remember what I was like, but sometimes memory, is Deanna still over there? Memory probably is fading. They don't really remember as well as they should have. But I knew there were things in my life that needed to change, but I just figured I was good enough, and I would just try to do it on my own. But I ended up having some friends in school that were Christian, and we had theological discussions like, what does it mean to be a Christian? And it was, well, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, and you don't date girls that do, or something like that. deep theological truths in there. Also, is that you don't go to movies, you don't play cards. And I go, well, okay, wait a second. Up until that point, I was with you. But playing cards, that was fun. That's what my dad and I used to do. But I knew there was more to that. I said, I knew even then that being a Christian was not about what you didn't do. It's what relationship you had with Christ. And so I kind of dismissed their appeals for me to go to church with them as being they really don't have the answers either. But years went by, and I realized I still needed to know something was missing in my life. So I started going to a church in Rising Sun, 1967, in the fall. And there I heard a message. Now, I hate to say to the pastor or the pastors we had here when I was a child, I don't remember any of the sermons. I do remember drawing on the back of the bulletins and the papers. So those of you who might claim the sanctuary, that mess that you are picking up, that's what I used to do all the time too. But I did know that God had something more for my life, and I knew that God wanted to use me. So I went to another church, and there I heard the gospel, probably for the first time. I knew God loved me, I just didn't know why. And sometimes even though you're not a bank robber or a murderer, you know you're not good enough. And I knew I wasn't. But I heard that message, and I knew the steps that I need to take to accept him as my Savior. So on November 3rd, 1968, I accepted Christ as my Savior. The thing that led me to that was the Holy Spirit, because there wasn't anything else to convince me. I did have a Christian heritage. I had parents that I know were praying for me. But it was the Holy Spirit that led me there, and I knew that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. I repented of my sins and turned away from my bad attitudes and actions and accepted him as my Savior. I put my trust in him for the rest of my life because I made him Lord and boss of it. And no matter what I knew the plans were for me, I knew he had it under control. I changed from a self-centered person to one who wanted to serve God. Now I know I was not always perfect, and I know that I didn't always live a life in front of my family and others, people in my sphere of influence, but I know that he never gave up on me. I wanted to become a teacher even before, when I was in probably even grade school, because I loved playing with kids in the backyard and coming up with all kinds of different activities. I did not love staying up in front of people. I thought that was one of God's funniest jokes. I would, in school, take zeros instead of giving a speech. And then what does God do? He makes me stand up in front of kids for the next 35 years, giving speeches or talking to them. But God called me to be a teacher. I knew that even then, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. But he provided a way that I got some grants and some work-study things so I could go to Mount Vernon Nazarene College and went there for the first 2 years. When I was there, a freshman, around Easter time, I believe God wanted me to be baptized. I had not been baptized up to that point. I came back to the Rising Sun Nazarene Church, but they don't have a baptismal. They only knew of one baptismal in Rising Sun. Right there. And I knew that was God's plan, because when I was baptized there, my parents were also in the sanctuary, and the people who had made the influence of my life, this building in which I first learned about God, was where I could identify with him, and I could be held accountable for what he's already done in my life, and I wanted to be a witness to everybody else. I went on to go to college at Bowling Green, got my teaching degree, but I wasn't really satisfied with that. God had put on my heart that he wanted me to teach in a Christian school. And so I went to Nazarene Theological Seminary in Kansas City with my family. I had married and had a son, both of which are joys to my life. We went to the seminary. Planning on coming back to Rising Sun, I'd ask people, people would ask me, why? Why would you want to come back to Rising Sun? Because it's my home. But God had another plan for me. Instead of coming back to Rising Sun, he called me to go to Los Angeles, California, which is a little different than Rising Sun, for those of you who may not know. And that's where God had to serve for 30 years. And there I was able to teach, to coach, to be a daycare and summer camp director, mentor to students and parents and to other teachers. That was that was my dream, that I could do that. But we ended up moving back to Ohio. Not real sure exactly why. It was in the Columbus area, just knowing that was God's will. And during that time, I started my own business while I was also still teaching. And that business allowed me then to be not independently wealthy, just independent, because God had a plan that when we were down there, my wife would become ill, and I would become her caretaker for 2 years. But God had provided everything I needed and got to spend that time with her. We moved back to the Fosteria area, and she passed away January of last year. But God has all things under control. I know where she's at. I missed her, but I didn't want to see her continue to suffer. I saw her go from a vibrant young lady to someone who had no energy and could hardly breathe for the last 18 months. After she had passed, though, I didn't know what to do. So I actually came and asked our pastor, and hopefully he doesn't mind. It doesn't matter. I'm talking, right? Although he will have ways of getting back at me, I'm sure. But I asked him, I said, I don't know what to do. I just want to keep busy. I want to do stuff. Please, show me what I'm supposed to do. And he gave me a question. And when he said it, it just about felt like I was getting hit in the face. But it was, is God enough? Because I wanted to do things. But the question is he enough? And I thought, at first I said, of course. But then why are you fretting? Why are you worried? Why are you trying to fill it with everything else except for him? And I don't think he put except for him. But that's what I felt. And I realized that's all I needed to do. I needed to rely on him. And since that year, this year has gone by, it has probably been one of the best years of my life. Challenges and all kinds of different feelings that I had not experienced for a long time. But knowing that God had everything under control, and he brought me home to Rising Sun. I thank God for this church and for this congregation and for the leadership of this church. It helped me to feel at home, and my desire is to serve him for every day of my life until he calls me to my heavenly home. For those of you who don't know, my dad was born, not in the church, but probably seemed like it. He came every service probably for the first 65 years until then, eventually retiring and moving south. But my history, my heritage goes back 6 generations and 150 years at this church. I remember the old building that was there, although I know I don't look that old. But I was just a baby when they walked across, right, Randy? We were just babies when we walked across from that building to this building. But it's a thing like I always felt this was my home, and now it is. I thank God for that. Thank you.
So this is a little bit easier because last service I tried a little bit of humor, but it didn't quite go over. I guess my sense of humor is a little sicker than other people's, but. And I know you guys are like, go ahead and get that collection plate. We'll take a collection, maybe a little bit, a few pages, and we get up and enjoy that weather, huh? Well, here it is. We'll get this over with. First thing I tell you, I'll warn you ahead of time, I'm a man who wears his heart on his sleeve. Been known to cry during the sadness, during happy times, even during an occasional movie. You have a wife like mine that you have to understand Hallmark Channel's on at our house from November 1st till way past Christmas. You know, I'm passionate in what I believe in. I believe in God. I love my wife. I love my family, our dog Willow, our church, our country, Pastor Paul, and of course, the Ohio State Buckeyes. I always have to put that in. That's just the way it goes. People ask me, do you wear anything else? I said, no. What else is there? You know, the occasional Toledo Rockets once in a while and the Detroit Tigers, but that's occasional. Well, anyways, a little bit about myself. I was adopted with my biological sister at the age of 3 to 2 wonderful parents, Harry and Anna Mae Harpster. Grew up in Bradner, or outside of Bradner on Pemberville Road. Attended Bradner United Methodist Church for 20 years. Until the age of 20, and then switched to the Wayne United Methodist Church when Carla and I moved to Wayne after we were married. And we attended that until her illness in 2009. And then we came in December of 2018 to the First Church of God here. Now, a lot of you probably haven't seen Michelle and I, but we always attend the first service. I do recognize a few faces in here, but anyways, we had been coming regular basis and really love the church family here and stuff, so a little bit to get to know us. I have 2 sons and 2 stepdaughters, and my stepdaughters were here last service and explained to them that I do not like the word step because I love my stepdaughters as much as I love my own kids, and I do as much for them as they do. And the stepdaughter is just a, you know, they can call a person a father, but doesn't make him a father, you know. But that being said, we have 7 grandchildren ages 13 to 8 months, which tend to be our life, and we enjoy them and they mean the world to us. And I know we all have different ways of describing ourselves, and a good idea to tell about a person is by some of his beliefs and some of his likes. And I'll tell you some of mine. Here are a few of my favorite movies, and I'll tell you why. The Wizard of Oz, because The Wizard of Oz is a movie that talks about being young at heart, and I believe I will always be young at heart. If you noticed all through this movie, Dorothy followed her heart. She, like all of us, always held the power to control our destiny and by believing and trusting in a power greater than herself. She left her family and went over the rainbow to meet them again in a magical land. She walked through her own valley of death. She put her faith in a man she didn't know, but she listened and obeyed his direction, and her beliefs delivered her home. And my favorite quote from this movie is, "A heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others." My second movie is Field of Dreams. I love this movie because it shows that you can believe in someone although you cannot see them. You put your trust in them without question. You see and experience things that non-believers can't see. You stick to your faith and you believe when others don't. And my favorite quote from this movie is, this is for the fathers. Dad, you want to have a catch? And the third movie is I Can Only Imagine. Have a lot of people seen this out here? Because I don't want to be a spoiler, but I'm going to spoil it. Just a little bit. You'll enjoy the movie if you do see it. I love this movie because it showed a man who was mean all his life, and he was a non-believer. He turned his life over to Christ, repented and asked for forgiveness, and forgave himself and established a relationship with God and his own son. This man received forgiveness from God, and I believe everyone who repents and believes has a place in heaven. My favorite quote from this movie is, I saw God transform him from a man I hated to a man I wanted to be. Now, if you've never seen the movie, see the movie. It's a great movie to see. It's very inspirational. Now, just a couple of my favorite songs that explains what I like. I won't go into depth about these songs, but all you need to do is listen to them, listen to the lyrics, and you'll know why. How Great Thou Art, and the rendition by Carrie Underwood and Vince Gill is fantastic. A couple of the other ones is Amazing Grace, I Come to the Garden Alone, and I Can Only Imagine from the movie that I just talked about. Dislikes, way too many to mention. Now comes my first meeting with God. This happened at a church camp down in St. Mary's, Ohio, when I was about 12 or 13 years old. I remember giving my life to Christ there. It was such a moving experience. I remember getting the necklace with the cross on it, and I wore it proudly. And I remember I was 13 years old. But like a lot of things as a teenager, sadly, it was short-lived. My friends at that time thought there was something wrong with me. For some unknown reason, I felt like I didn't belong. And looking back, I realized that I wasn't the one, it wasn't me that was wrong. It was just simply that I didn't have the courage to stand up for God and for what I believed in. At the age of 14, my mother got sick and laid in a hospital bed for over a year. Shortly after my 15th birthday, she passed away. This was a big turning point in my life because at that point, I gave up on Christ. I don't think he ever gave up on me, but I gave up on Christ, and I didn't care. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And if only I had known then what I know now, you know, how things could have been different. But that being said, I learned from my mistakes at those ages, and I strive to do better, and these experiences taught me a lot, especially the difference between right and wrong in life. I came back to Christ on the day that I married Carla. I took an oath with God, and on that day, I promised to stick with it. I wish I could say I was a good Christian man at that time. I mean, I wasn't a mean person, but I just didn't follow God like I should have. And, you know, I look back and I thank God for his patience and for waiting for me. Fast forward another 20 years to July 21st, 2009. This was the day that God and I started some serious conversation. On this day, I took my wife Carla to the emergency room at Wood County Hospital, thinking that maybe the pain in her back was just a kidney stone or something minor. After a short visit and a few tests, they told her she needed to see her family doctor ASAP. He informed us that she had a tumor in her back and in her lung. I remember praying that evening. We prayed that we would fight this fight and win this battle. After more tests and a brief hospital stay at Fremont Memorial, and some time at home, we ended up at Firelands Hospital in Sandusky. During this time, the minister from the Church of God joined forces with us, and we prayed to God for healing. Our family and friends came together, and we prayed all the time. We were put on so many different prayer lists that I couldn't keep track of how many. I just lost count. I remember the night before her operation, calling a radio station on the way to the hospital, and asked them to pray for her and please play one of her favorite songs, which was I Come to the Garden Alone. I stayed with her that night before the operation. When the morning came and it was time for the operation, she handed me her crucifix, and the last words she spoke to me were, I'm scared. A half-hour operation turned into a two-and-a-half-hour operation. For the next 17 days, she lay there in a coma. As the cancer spread throughout her body and upwards toward her brain, I knew it was time. You see, Carla had a beautiful mind, and I couldn't bear to have this disease take that away from her. I prayed to God to perform his miracle and heal her, take her home and take away her pain. I decided on that night, before we let her go, that I wanted to spend it by her side. After getting home from spending the day with her, I called the nurses and explained what I would like to do. By the time I returned to the hospital, they had arranged all the tubes and all the IVs to one side of the bed. I simply wanted to sleep with my wife of 34 years. One more time. Now, this is important. Please understand that this was a gift from God and one of the most joyous nights of my life. To lie there next to her and hold her hand for one last night is something I will cherish and never forget. I'll spare the details, but on the next day, Carla went home to God. I could see her walking hand in hand with Jesus through that valley. I imagined her and her other loved ones rejoicing together. I could accept that God took her home, but I couldn't accept why. I struggled with God and Pastor John in the church until I finally realized this was not my decision, or this is not my decision to make or to question. I made peace with God and continued on. About a month later, I still felt lost and was getting mad at God again. My life had pretty much been reduced to getting up on Sunday mornings and pacing back and forth in the kitchen. I had no idea what to do. I decided on that day I was going to go play softball with my sons up in Rising Sun. And halfway through that game, I decided I had enough. There just wasn't any fun in it anymore. Then I had this idea that I would stop and see Michelle Foster, whom I had never met before. I stopped for a little guidance because I knew that she had lost her husband 9 months earlier. Understand, it was not my intention to bother her. I simply wanted to stop and seek some advice. So swearing to myself that I would not stop and bother if she was not outside, or her garage door wasn't open. As I approached, though, I seen her garage door was open, and I decided to stop. I found out later exactly what Michelle said, that she never let her garage door open because she didn't want dirt or things blowing in, assuming things like me. Imagine, here I was, dirty sweatpants, sleeveless t-shirt, dirty sweaty ball cap on backwards, stopping to ask advice. It's a wonder she did not call 911. I came up to her door and introduced myself, stated my condolence over her losing her husband, and explained who I was and that I had lost my spouse about a month ago. And then I forgot to ask her the question that I had stopped to get answered. We chatted for a few minutes, and I went on my way. Later that day, I realized that I had forgot to ask her, so I gave her a phone call and asked her the question, does life go on and does it get better? Time went by, and we would pass each other. You see, Mark and Carla are only buried 10 graves apart in the cemetery. Michelle would visit Mark around 11 on Sunday, and I would visit Carla around noon on Sunday, and our paths would cross. Months had passed, and then came that God moment. We were sitting in her kitchen counter, and we were talking like we had done many times before. And I sensed that she was having a rough day. I physically reached over, touched her hand. This feeling shot through me that I hadn't felt in months. At that moment, I knew for sure that God had brought us together as part of his plan. The following September, we married in the church. Definitely one of my best decisions ever. Fast forward to December of 2018. We decided to make a change in churches. The first day here, we felt welcome. We knew a lot of you already, which made things easy. Also, upon leaving the service that day, I commented to Pastor Paul that any pastor that could incorporate Herbie Hancock in his sermon and make reference to the movie Tommy Boy was the pastor for me. He's got my sense of humor. Spending these last 16 months together with you has been a blessing. I was able to go on the men's retreat where friendships were strengthened and more were started. I even bunked in the same room as a Michigan fan, TJ. But it's okay. Prayers and sleeping pills got me through it. The retreat was an experience I will never forget. The time spent alone at the cross on Vesper Hill, speaking with God, was unexplainable. Definitely something I will never forget. When I was told we needed to attend classes to be members of the church, I thought, wow, this is a new twist. no other church I had ever went to you had to do this for. But once Paul explained it, why, it made perfect sense to me. I understand. Another part of God's plan was bringing Jim Dieter, Don Himes, who isn't here. There were some personal reasons and stuff, and us in the group understand why he's not here and stuff, but I love him just as much, and I wish he could have been here, but he's here with us, and I talked to him last night, and things are going to be okay. So, anyways, Jim Dieter, Don Himes, Michelle, and I, all together for these classes, you see, because the four of us did have something in common. We all suffered a major loss, which brought us back to God and brought us together. And as Michelle said, we had an understanding with each other before a word was even spoken. I mean, unfortunately, it's just that, it's that bond you get when something like that happens. Our classes, we involved a lot of praying, tons of emotional highs and lows, tears and laughter, tons of meats, dips, desserts, heated but controlled debates. Remember the night I was having a debate with Paul, but I was passionate about it, and I felt strong about my opinion, and Michelle's over there like, calm down, you know. I was just expressing, I wasn't going to punch the pastor. I mean, jeez. But anyways, we had tons of learning and definitely a much better understanding of Jesus and what God expects of me as a Christian. This is important to me. I remember the story that Pastor Paul told us around Christmas time. I assume he told it to the second congregation. Okay. I mean, I didn't want you to make us special, you know. Anyways, it was about the man with all of his riches and his material things got a glimpse into heaven. He couldn't understand how he ended up in a field with a shack while other people were there with a golden mansion, with on the golden streets with a mansion. Well, that story has made me think about my own accommodations that will be allotted for me in heaven. I have sinned so many times in my life that I cannot keep track. I wonder how a sinner like me could even be considered for a place in heaven. And right now, I would settle for a sleeping bag on a rock pile if it meant spending my eternity with God. Now, here are some of the things that I've learned and I'm still working on a daily basis. Bear with me, people. You'll be out in the sunshine before you know it. Definition of repent. Feel or express sincere regret, remorse about one's wrongdoing or sins. Act 3:19. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I know they say you only need to repent once, but I'm not taking any chances. I also struggle with forgiveness. Now, this personally is a tough thing for me. I don't know if you guys have experienced, but some people that hurt you in your life, it is hard to forgive. But through Paul's preaching and one-on-one talks and stuff, I don't know if I'm 100% there, but I'm getting better. I keep trying, so I guess that would be... It's the right path to go down, you know. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I know that's what God says, and I do not question him on these matters, but I still pray for forgiveness, and I work hard every day to become the person that God has chosen for me to be. Right now in this world, and I think we all realize this, at times it is really hard being a Christian. You know, you have with all the temptations of sin and the open prosecutions of Christian beliefs, I must and I do trust in God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I don't always pray in the conventional way, but I do always stay in touch with God on a daily basis. In closing, I'd just like to explain that this story was no way intended to make you feel sorry for me whatsoever for what I've went through. It is part of life. As last sermon, last week, if you understand, is Paul explained these are trials of our lives. You know, I didn't quite look at it that way until last week. I do pay attention to his sermons when I can stay awake, but... That's, sorry, Paul. Anyways, I do truly count my blessings every day. I have a very, very caring and loving wife, and I love her to death. She's, you know, I never make comparisons between wives. I don't. When Carla died, it was a phase of my life that had stopped, and I had to move on. Since I moved on, this is the best thing that's ever happened. No doubt in my mind. Amen. I always wanted to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a very caring and loving wife and family, and God has blessed me with 7 wonderful grandchildren. And throughout these years, I have experienced more love than many people could ever wish for. So I was simply trying to let you understand what kind of person I am and what I am striving to do every day and explain how I got to this point in my life. Thank you, and God bless.
Best membership classes I've ever done, and yes, Michelle raised the bar for the next round because we ate every class. We ate really good. I think I gained 30 pounds, and I may have become a diabetic because of all the sugar I was inhaling. And the next membership class, even if you guys aren't in it, I may come to your house anyways, so we'll see if you'll host. Yeah. So it was, seriously, though, we had some lessons. We got through a half a lesson in 2 hours. And it's like, oh, we got to come back next week. What kind of dip are we going to have, you know? So great time, though. And as you'll notice, all 3 of them had significant loss in life. And Don was the same way. And I firmly believe that God puts the class together. It is amazing how God brings people together that don't know each other at all and suddenly have everything in common. And a wonderful group of people. What I would like you guys to do is stand. I'm just going to have you take the vows. I feel it's important that this section of church family hears you take the vows as well as the first service. And we have some things to give you, certificates and things of that nature. And I'm going to pray, and then I'll need you guys to come up and hug them and compliment them. I thought they did a great job. Bob, you can tell, is an introvert. And I was supposed to get a laugh, but I think everybody wants to go home. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, what's an introvert? Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I knew they were going to be very comfortable. I know Michelle was very nervous. I think Michelle deserves another round of applause because you hit it out of the park. Did a fine, fine job. I know that was very stressed about that part of membership, and you did well. And it's like they need to hear your story. You guys have got great stories. So John Weinbrenner, actually people after him, gave us 3 vows that you have vowed yourselves to. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, having been reborn by the Word and the Spirit? Will you follow and serve Him as Lord of your life? If so, answer, I have and I will. Do you accept the Bible as the inspired Word of God to make it your guide through life? And do you promise to follow its precepts faithfully? If so, answer, I do and I will. And do you promise to support the church faithfully by your presence, your natural gifts and talents, and your income, as the Lord may bless and prosper you? If so, answer, I do. We welcome you into this fellowship here in Rising Sun. May God grant you to stay true to the covenant that you've made with Him this day. And Christ and the Holy Spirit grant you an attitude of love as you serve faithfully within this congregation. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Harpsters. I thank you for Jim. Thank you for Don, Lord, that he went through the classes. And we thank you that they have picked this church as their home. And Father, be with them, bless them, illuminate their minds and spirits more to you day by day. And Father, as they participate here in different church activities, as they get to know people, may they just increase the friendships that they have, and may they make new friends as well. Father, continue to open up doors for them to serve and to love and to reach out as this community does. And Father, bless them and bless their commitment to you. Amen.